10 years ago this week, the collapse of Lehman Brothers marked the beginning of a financial crisis that destroyed millions of Americans' lives. We've been checking back in with some of those people we first met a decade or so ago. Today, Lynn and Milo White, one of 8 million families that lost their homes since the foreclosure crisis began.
We went in with our eyes open. We thought we had a home that was worth what we were paying for it. And we honestly, at one point, thought that it was going to be an investment that would help us in our retirement.
I met the Whites at the height of the crisis in Phoenix, which might as well have been the center of the storm. Milo had just lost his job at a steel company. And to keep the family's finances afloat, he moved for a new job in Salt Lake City. The rest of the family stayed behind in Phoenix. The mortgage on the home was so underwater, they couldn't sell it. So Milo spent his nights alone in Salt Lake with his guitar and commuted back to Phoenix every few weeks. When we first met, Lynn was at the airport waiting for his flight.
There's a lot of times I find myself on the verge of tears. It is. It's hard not having him here. Here he is. Hey, welcome home.
How are you?
Over the course of the next year, the economy continued to unravel, and so did the Whites' situation. Milo was laid off again. There was no money for the house payment, and I was with them on their final day at home. Here's part of the story I produced for KJZZ.
Oh, the mailbox key, too. Should I tell them what number it is? Or they can figure it out, I guess.
It's now dawn on the morning of June 18th. It's the last day Lynn will ever set foot in this house. Lynn is leaving the keys on the kitchen counter. What once belonged to her no longer does.
This is really weird. This is really weird.
Weird because the keys now belong to the lender. The home went to foreclosure on June 16th. There was nothing Milo could do to stop it. He tried. He called Fannie Mae. He begged them to stop the foreclosure auction. Milo had two backup buyers on the table, but he was on hold with a bureaucrat when the auctioneer put a stamp on his future. All along, Milo had said that foreclosure was the worst possible outcome. Avoiding foreclosure is the reason the family lived 700 miles apart for 18 months.
As hard as we tried to fight for it and make the best thing happen and settle it honestly and you know feel good about it, it still ended up like as if we would have just walked away.
Woke up in the dead of night with the blues coming down like rain.
You might recall Milo's guitar rack. It once hung on the wall not far from where he now sits on the one remaining stool in an empty kitchen. Milo writes music when he's away from Lynn and the kids. He has a way of finding optimism, even in dire circumstances. But in this song, Milo describes his protagonist, and by extension himself, as a broken man.
You kind of feel like, no matter how hard you try, it's not working out, you know?
A lot has happened in the year since we last met. Milo and Lynn moved for a time to Oregon, but they're now back in Salt Lake City, where we've gotten them into a studio. Milo, Lynn, I can't tell you how good it is to speak with you again. Thanks for coming on.
Same here.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to hear your voice.
How are you doing?
Oh, hearing the story kind of tugged at my heartstrings a little, but we're much better off. We're in a better place than we were the last time we spoke. Over the past 9 to 10 years since the housing crisis, there's been so much that has happened. We lost our home in Arizona even after trying our best to do the right thing. But in the end, like so many other families, we were foreclosed upon and bankruptcy was inevitable.
And Milo, did you end up filing for bankruptcy? Is that the way things went?
Yeah, we did. In the end, they had foreclosed rather than taking one of the short sales that we had. They foreclosed and then they sold the home for $47,000 less than the foreclosures. So they ended up coming to us for the difference plus that $47,000 that was really their fault. So in the end, faced with $300,000+, there's just no way that in our lifetimes we would ever pay that off. So we ended up kind of forced into bankruptcy.
So what's the financial legacy been like? Almost a decade now since that has happened. You filed for bankruptcy. I remember you telling me at the time that you knew you would never be able to buy a house again because it had not only wiped out your credit because of the foreclosure, but it wiped out all of your savings as well. So how are you doing financially now?
I think we're doing okay. We live paycheck to paycheck. I'm working for the same company that laid me off back in 2009.
Really?
But my salary is a little bit under 70% of what it was before. So it's a little harder to make ends meet, and we get by. And I think, truthfully, we're grateful. We feel like we've got it better than many. But it, like you said, we'll never own a home again. We probably will not have a very comfortable retirement. Both of us will work as long as we can. I think I'll be working till age 70 to maximize Social Security.
Lynn, what do you think about that? Not having that retirement that you had planned for. You know, when we spoke, I think you were in your late 40s. How old are you now?
I will be 57 this month.
So you're getting close to retirement. I mean, what are you thinking about?
Well, you know, we're just hoping that we can keep our good health because we will be working into our older age. I don't see us retiring and traveling like the dream of most retirees. You know, it just wiped us out.
How are the kids? Who are not kids anymore, by the way.
The kids are great. They all have recovered very nicely. They're all doing fantastically, really.
I remember when we spoke the first time, it was coming up on Christmas, and Michele, your daughter who was in high school at the time, she refused to talk to me. She ran upstairs, and frankly, I mean, who could blame her? This was an incredibly traumatic time for her. I wonder if you think at all that this had any lasting impact on the kids who aren't there, who aren't responsible for paying the bills, but who are watching absolutely everything that's going on.
Well, I think that they all lost a sense of home, really, a place that you can call home, that you can go home to. And I think Michele really suffered the most in that she was between her sophomore and junior year in high school, and we moved to Oregon and took her with us. And she really struggled in Oregon. She finished her high school in Tucson, living with her brothers, who were both going to school there. But she was still in high school and actually working to pay her rent because the bankruptcy judge would not allow us to give her money.
I wonder what you are thinking today. I mean, look, the economy is in a completely different place than it was the last time that we spoke. The unemployment is incredibly low. Job growth is gangbusters. You've got housing prices shooting up. But you know better than almost anyone else in the country that things can change.
Oh, absolutely. They can change so quickly. You know, I feel like Milo and I are some of the lucky few, and we're truly blessed because we have family that was capable and willing to help us. We were able to choose a home that they are the owners of, but we rent from them at an under market cost.
This is my sister and our brother-in-law who helped us to get into a rental home at really below the market. Otherwise, we would really struggle to pay our rent.
It's expensive. You don't have a nest egg saved up. Are you then nervous about how vulnerable you might be the next time the economy takes a turn?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Milo, are you still playing the guitar?
Yes.
I hope your songs are a little more hopeful these days.
Actually, I did one kind of a Christmassy song, Good to Be Home. It's a good, hopeful song.
Lynn and Milo White, thank you so much for coming on to share this story with me 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and now today. I do wish you the best of luck in your journeys in the future.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to hear your voice again.